Welcome to Lake Mount Worship Center, connecting you to the life-changing presence of Jesus Christ. We hope that you are blessed and inspired by today's message.
I want to recover some territory this morning in God's Word, because I feel like the season that we're in just requires a fresh alertness on some principles that I just feel the Lord just wanting us to lay hold of in His Word. So I'm going to ask you to turn to Mark chapter 5, and we're going to read a passage there together. And, you know, before we get to Mark chapter 5, obviously there's Mark chapter 4. And Mark chapter 4 ends with Jesus and His disciples taking a trip across the lake to get to the Gadarenes or the Gerasenes, and to get to this region in order to minister. And on the way there, they experience some opposition. And sometimes on our way to divine appointments, sometimes on our way to stepping into what God has for us, we can find some opposition. Anybody ever found that to be true? A little bit of opposition when you're stepping out in obedience. And Jesus is with the disciples, and we're familiar with the story of you know, them crossing the lake. And then this storm, you know, whips up, and they're afraid for their lives, and they think they're going to die, and they ask Jesus to help, and Jesus speaks to the wind and the waves, and it stops, because He has all authority and all power. Even the wind and the waves obey Him. And listen, when God has a destiny for your life, when He does, and when God has appointments for your destiny, when God has divine appointment for you to step into seasons of moving forward in His purpose, the enemy will often try to rail against that. And if we don't process that right, we'll shrink back and just want God to make it smooth sailing all the time. But if we're willing to take the step of faith, even when the storm whips up, listen, God has a purpose for your life that's going to be fulfilled, but He's just looking for people who'll be willing to step into the storm, step into it and watch Him calm it and then change the atmosphere through our lives. And so I want us to take a look at Mark chapter 5, and we're going to read that from verse 1 to verse 20, and it says this: "They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes, and when Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet Him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been chained hand and foot. But he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of Him. He shouted at the top of his voice, 'What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me.' For Jesus had said to him, 'Come out of this man, you evil spirit.' And then Jesus asked him, 'What is your name?' 'My name is Legion,' he replied, 'for we are many.' And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside, and the demons begged Jesus, 'Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them.' And he gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. And then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with Him. Jesus did not let him, but said, 'Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how He has had mercy on you.' And so the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed." You ever notice there's a battle for your life? That there is an enemy that wants to steal and kill and destroy and try to impose his will on your life, but there is a God who is great and loving and powerful who also has a will and a design for your life. And this story is the story of a man who at some point, in some way, there was demonic entities that gained entrance to his life. However that happened, maybe through some sort of abuse, maybe through some sort of occultic practice, maybe at some point, this man's heart was opened up in such a way where demonic entities came and entered into him. And they tormented him. So much so that this man was left for dead. Everyone just kind of, they couldn't do anything to help him. When it came to trying to help this man, the best plan that people could come up with was, let's tie him up with ropes. And then when that didn't work, they thought, well, let's try binding him with chains. And when that didn't work, they said, let's drop him off in the cemetery and just leave him there to run around. And this man, tormented, ran around naked in the tombs without any of those, the chains being able to hold him externally, but being held by chains internally, and running, cutting himself, screaming, howling at the moon, just absolutely possessed by demons. His life was an absolute mess, and no one had any real hope for this man. Whoever his family was knew they couldn't let him stay in their home. This was chaotic. This was dangerous. And they couldn't control him in any way. And so now he lives out in the tombs, and people had just determined there's no hope. When you're left naked, and the best plan that people have for you is to bind you with chains, and that doesn't work, and you're left naked running around in a cemetery, I'd like to suggest people have given up. Nobody was expecting a birthday card from this guy. Nobody was expecting to see him just pop in for coffee. No one was thinking he's going through a phase. They had written him off. They had handed him over. They were done. They didn't know what to do. They had allowed the circumstance to determine their level of hope for this man's destiny. This is so far gone that we really don't have any hope for change. And what that means is eventually people got to a point where they just said, we don't know what else to do. And I don't know better him than me. They just, we don't know what to do. And they left him. But listen, if we are a church that is to change the direction of our city and the destiny of people's lives, then listen, we need to lay hold of the possibilities of heaven and deliver them to the impossibilities of this earth. People that are in bondage, people that have been written off, people that have no hope. Listen, there is still a hope, and his name is Jesus. There is still one that can break the bondage, and his name is Jesus. There is an answer for every situation on the earth, and there is a name higher than any other name, an authority higher than any other authority, and every oppression can bow to the name of Jesus. But if we only say amen, but then don't know what to do, and we just stand back and go, I don't know what to do. So let's just hurry past the cemetery next time we need to cross the lake. Then we have indicated what our real level of hope is. There are words and labels and diseases and disorders that we can tremble at. And unknowingly, we can yield our faith to the prognosis of whatever that label holds within it. Not because we have no faith in God, but because we've restricted what we will point our faith at to overcome. There are certain labels where we just go, ah. Someone says, hey, this is what the doctor said. We just go, all the best. Someone has a recurring issue, and we just say, yeah, that just kind of looks like that's going to be how it is. But I'm thankful for Jesus. I'm thankful for the Gospels, and that would encourage us to become so familiar with the breath of the Gospel that it would just always be near us, that we don't just get familiar with a couple of stories, but we stay in the story, we stay in the Gospel, we read that good news and realize that there was no one that Jesus considered a write-off, but Jesus stepped into every circumstance and delivered the kingdom. And when he said, "The kingdom of God is at hand," that was a promise that he delivered on. Every time. It wasn't just bland advertising, and it wasn't just the kingdom of God is at hand, except for some really tough cases, then just leave them over there in the cemetery. But everyone look over here. And hang on, because heaven's going to be great. More than a hope for the future, the kingdom of God is a pursuit for the present. And listen, the story that we're talking about isn't about a guy who's just, you know, crazy. This isn't just somebody who's struggling, you know, with mental illness. This is someone who's plagued by demons. And according to the story, demons that were organized and holding rank. Demons that were organized in such a way there was 1,000 of them. A legion was a Roman military term of 1,000 detachments, 1,000 soldiers in a detachment. 1,000 demons in one man. And Jesus confronted that and discovered that there was 1,000 demons in this one man. And so the question is, why so many demons in one man? Isn't that a little bit of a waste of resource on hell's part? A bunch of bored demons with not much to do. Like, let's just afflict one guy and let him run around the cemetery. That'll be fine. The forces of darkness saw something in this man that no one else saw, I would like to suggest. While everyone else had given up on him and everyone else had become accustomed to the cost of living going down near the cemetery, and everyone else had just kind of given up and said, that's about all the aptitude we can see for this man's life, hell actually invested an awful lot of resource and put 1,000 demons in one man. And I would like to suggest that the reason why is because they were looking for territorial influence. It was a territorial spirit with an assignment of hell that needed earthly agreement to operate. Now let me just pause right here to say that the only reason people who claim to believe in Jesus have a hard time today listening to this story, believing this story, is because we've moved away from what this word says. And we just like to go, that's a cool demon story from the Bible. I'm glad that doesn't happen anymore. That's a cool story about demons, but that only happens other places. But please don't try to tell this story like that's possible today. The only reason that we're uncomfortable that way is because we've moved away from the biblical Christianity. We've adopted something that's a little more socially acceptable. But that's a different gospel. The Bible says, Jesus says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Scripturally, we understand that there are 3 different archangels in heaven. And Satan was one of them. He was assigned with the task of leading heaven in worship, and somehow became deluded in that assignment in heaven. And when pride filled his heart and began to take the praise unto himself, take the worship unto himself, and not fully give the glory to God, but actually consider that maybe people were actually more enthralled with him than they were with God, that caused an insurrection, and he took 1/3 of the angels with him when God cast him from heaven and he landed on this planet. And the Bible begins talking about the earth. By the time Satan got here, it was without form and void. He just makes a mess wherever he goes. And it's easy for us to just want to talk only about things that we can see and touch. But the spiritual world that is around us is a very real thing. And Jesus has all authority in that realm. All authority in heaven and on earth and under the earth has been given to Jesus. So that's part of the good news right there. is that we have no reason to fear when we're walking with Jesus. That Jesus has the authority that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. And so this story of Jesus stepping onto the shore and a man that is possessed by demons, before we just sanitize it and distance ourselves and say, well, that's a cool Bible story from way back then. Or before we distance ourselves, and that was before we knew how to label things, different things. Listen, there's all kinds of things going on here, but don't miss the fact that there was actually demonic entity resident within that man wanting to torment his life, but also with 1,000 of them wanting to affect the spiritual climate of a region. And so I didn't come to play softball this morning. But I believe that we need to align ourselves with this word. That Jesus is wanting to shift some territorial boundary lines for this house. And increase our understanding of the authority that we have in his name. So here's what happens in the story. Number one, I want you to catch this. In verse 10, the demons beg Jesus to allow them to stay. They're inside this man. And Jesus, I love this. Jesus just gets off the boat. He just finished rebuking a storm, and he just gets off the boat. He steps foot on the shore, and when he gets on the shore, the demons inside the man recognize the spiritual authority. They run, and they bow before him, and they beg him, please don't torment us before the appointed time. Please don't kick us out of here. And so Jesus asks them, well, what's your name? Legion, because we're many. Okay? And they're begging not to leave. And then they negotiated and said, could we please stay here in these pigs? The demons begged not to leave that area. They didn't want to leave the man. And when they knew that Jesus was going to set the man free, then they said, could we stay in the pigs? Why? Because they wanted to have influence over a region. Have you ever been in a place where you could feel the darkness? Dark places need light. If you've never, listen, Psalm 23 says that God wants to anoint our head with oil and prepare a table for us in the presence of our enemy. God doesn't just kick the enemy away so that you never encounter any kind of conflict. And especially as you push the boundaries of the kingdom with your life, and as we push the boundaries of the kingdom as a house, the enemy doesn't just want to take it laying down. But greater is Jesus within me, greater is Jesus within you than he that is in this world. There is all authority in Jesus' name. But the Psalm 23 says that he anoints our oil and he anoints our heads with oil and prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. And I'd like to suggest, if you've never felt the presence of your enemy, it might not be because you lack discernment, but it's probably because you lack a commitment to hating what God hates and loving what God loves. To love God is to hate evil, and if you don't have a definition of evil, you can't hate it. And if you can't hate evil, you can't have authority over it. Jesus hated the evil that was plaguing that man. Everyone else just called him crazy. Everyone else was done with him. Everyone else just left him on the curb. Everyone else just thought, that's it. That's all. That's his life story. We know how this ends. Boo-hoo for you, but there's nothing we can do for him. And so everyone just, you know, ignore the yelping in the cemetery when you walk by. But Jesus saw the person that was being tormented. Often when we start talking about spiritual matters such as this, you know, the enemy's, you know, greatest tool in this area is to just try to make fear our response so that we don't actually grow in understanding. Hollywood helps. Trying to, you know, make all this stuff just, you know, kind of really eerie and gooey and all that stuff. But listen, the mode of the kingdom was compassion. The elements of the kingdom are faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. Right. Jesus wasn't, oh no, I'm I'm fearful for these demons, and this crazy guy's so strong, he can break chains. Oh, I need to protect myself. Thankful I have authority. No, Jesus saw the man that was being tormented and had compassion on him. Had compassion upon this man who was being tormented. And so Jesus hears this strange request from the demonic entity, these demons that are speaking through that man's voice. And he hears this strange request. Don't send us out of this area. Don't send us out of the area. And then they ask if they can be sent into a herd of pigs. Now, I've got a question. Why did Jesus honor their request? Did he hate pigs? Why did Jesus honor their request? I think there's a few reasons. Number one, I think to illustrate that the agenda of hell is always to destroy life. What did the demons do as soon as they got into that herd of pigs? They just ran those pigs down the hill until they drowned. That is the agenda of hell 100% of the time, is to destroy life. Secondly, to demonstrate the need for a proxy death in order to effectively deal with the affliction of these evil spirits, that something needs to die in order for freedom to come. He was illustrating. Thirdly, to reveal to his followers, the church, to reveal to us today the impact of our obedience and agreement with heaven and how it affects earth. That when we agree with God, that there are demonic things that just have to move out of the way. Let's keep going now. So the demons beg Jesus to allow them to stay. Secondly, number two, I want us to see that the people beg Jesus to leave the region. Verse 17. Now, verse 15 says that when they saw the man clothed and in his right mind, Jesus sets the man free. He casts the demons out, just says, get out, and they do. They go over into a herd of pigs. I don't know if it looked like anything or just all of a sudden the herd of pigs went nuts and ran down the hill and drowned. But now this man's sitting there and they grab him an outfit and he's absolutely liberated. He's not what he was. He was changed from one thing to another. He's a brand new creation. He was demon possessed, he would have had wild eyes and crazy. He's probably, you know, smelled like feces. He's probably just hadn't bathed in who knows how long. He's naked. He'd have cuts all over him. And now they grab him an outfit. He's a new creation. They wash him in the lake and he's sitting there clothed in his right mind. And verse 15 says, when the townspeople saw the pigs run down the hill and then they come and they see the demoniac sitting there clothed in his right mind, verse 15 says, they were scared. What's wrong with this picture? The people were scared when the man was clothed and in his right mind. They were scared when he was delivered and free. They were comfortable with him being in bondage. They were just used to it. It had been that way for so long, it had become their normal. And looking at things the way that they were became just the way that it should be. And so now they're short some pigs and they've gained a brother and they're scared. And so what do? They quickly do the math. They look at the demoniac, they look at the tombs, they look at the pigs, they look at Jesus. They look at the pigs, they look at Jesus. They look at the tombs, they look at Jesus. Look at the man, he's got his hair parted to the side and a suit on, they look at Jesus. And they get scared. And verse 17 says, they beg him, please leave. Please leave. Can I just say to you, this makes no sense? This makes no sense. This emotional plea has to have some kind of a spiritual origin because it just doesn't make sense. It makes no sense to see freedom come to somebody and them say, wow, this is weird. This is weird. We were used to it when he was howling at the moon and cutting himself. You've really messed with things, and you killed all our pigs. Leave. And the Bible says they begged, please leave. You realize you probably can't order someone around who can make demons move from, please leave, Jesus. We always show our agreements better than we tell them. People usually operate in such a way as to demonstrate what they believe much better than what they will ever say. And their agreement, the people were okay with torment and demonic oppression. they were okay with that, more so than they were okay with losing however much money those pigs were worth. That was too much of a cost. But if you asked them, if you said to them, hey, what matters to you more? A few thousand dollars or this man's sanity and freedom? There's, we could take a little financial loss for this brother to be free. That's what everyone would say. But what they demonstrated was they didn't like that Jesus had messed with their normal, even though their normal was weird. Our behavior is a form of contract. We form contracts by our behavior. What do I mean? I mean, don't show up to work tomorrow and see if you're negotiating your contract. Don't show up the next day and see if you've renegotiated the contract. Your behavior is a form of contract. If you go to work, they pay you. If you don't go to work, they call you. If you keep not coming to work, they fire you. It's not mean. You negotiated your contract. Well, that's not fair. Yeah, it is. Because your behavior is negotiating a contract for you. Jesus was in agreement with the plans of heaven for every place that he went. And that's why Mark says that the moment the boat touched the shore and Jesus stepped foot out, the demons were right there negotiating their contract. Why? Because the highest spiritual authority on the planet had just stepped foot in their territory. And listen, I want for my life to be like that. I want for this house to be like that. I want for your life to be like that. I want that our lives would be so saturated with the atmosphere of heaven that the realms of darkness would have to negotiate their contract because people who are walking in the light have stepped into darkness and the darkness just starts to dissipate. I want to see darkness begging for mercy just because I get up. We read the stories in the Gospels, but again, when we separate ourselves from them and we say, well, that was then, this is now, we say, well, that was Jesus, and so he was God, and therefore we don't have any opportunity to even aim at that. Again, I'll say this endlessly, as Philippians 2 said, that Jesus didn't use the fact that he was God to his advantage to accomplish the ministry that he walked in. He was fully in nature God, but he was Jesus Christ, the anointed one. He was showing us how to walk in the anointing as a man. And so Jesus setting foot on shore there is, listen, the demons recognized his identity, but they responded to the anointing that he was partnering in. And if we separate ourselves from this type of story in Scripture, then when we find ourselves up against a spiritual wall that's very real, we'll be under-equipped, ill-equipped to face it because we've just spent all our time wishing it away and all of a sudden we're there going, that stuff was real, but I guess I'll just leave you over there in the tombs and sorry. But there's an authority that God wants to release in our lives. It's not about being weird and spooky. It's just about understanding that this, honestly, this story takes longer to tell than how long it took to happen. Jesus just getting out of a boat one morning, that's all. It wasn't, guys, now listen, we have just endured a storm, and so clearly there's some opposition for what we need to face. I have a sense that we're going to have an altar call for demoniacs. And so I want you guys, just pray in the Spirit. I know that the Holy Spirit hasn't come yet. Let's just go with this illustration. Just pray in the Spirit. And I need you guys, just get a bunch of anointing oil in like super soakers, because we're going to have to just really blast this area. And then what I want you to do is I want you to be all prayed up and just like, just stoke in the flame of the Spirit, guys. And then when we get out of the boat, I'm going to make a declaration, and then you know, just stay with me, okay, guys? To be my ministry team, I need you to do some catching, probably. Bartholomew, did you bring the modesty blankets? Because I'm pretty sure this guy's naked. So, it's just Jesus and the boys getting out of a boat. Like I said, it takes longer to tell the story than the story actually happening. Let me just do it for you in real time. Jesus gets out of a boat. Rah, what do you want with us, son of God? Have you come to torment us before the appointed time? Well, what's your name? Legion, for we're many. Well, get out of this, man. Please don't send us out of this area. Can we go on those pigs? Sure. Go on the pigs. Demons go out into the pigs. Pigs run down the hill. They're like, hey, man, want a shave and a haircut? Yes. Want a shave and a haircut? They put the modesty blanket on him. He's sitting here. The people who are looking after the pigs are like, hey, all our pigs just ran down the hill, and Crazy Dave is sitting over there with that guy who got out of the boat. Let's go investigate. Well, I'm not going by myself. All the pigs are gone. There goes Bacon. So then they come, and they look at Crazy Dave, who's now Normal Dave. Look at Jesus, look at the pigs, look at Crazy Dave, look at the cemetery, look at Jesus. Could you please leave? Please leave. Why? Because something is shifting here and we can't figure it out. Because what we've been living under, we actually have a form of contract with. We've gotten used to the atmosphere. And there are things that your light is exposing in us that, sure, he's the crazy one, but there's things that we've engaged in here that your light is exposing in. Could you please leave? Please. So the demons beg to stay in the region. The people beg Jesus to leave the region. And then finally, the former demoniac begs Jesus to allow him to leave the region. He comes to Jesus and he says, please, can I go with you now? These people liked me better when I was Crazy Dave. Some friends they were. The last number of years I've been cutting myself. Their best idea was tie me up. Nobody even gave me pants. Can I come with you guys? I got to say, if I was Crazy Dave, I'd be wanting to go with Jesus too. Why? Because he loved me. He saw me. He didn't see the crazy. He saw me. He saw past the demons. He didn't let fear move him. He saw me. He didn't operate in fear faith. He operated in compassion faith. You know what fear faith is? It's when you pray really loud. You yell. Guess what? Demons don't care how loud you pray, just so you know. Do I have to scream? No. Jesus is just having a chat. Okay, go in the pigs. Done. Can I go with you? There's three beggings that happen. The demons beg to stay. The people beg Jesus to leave. The former demoniac begs if he can leave too. And Jesus says, no. No, Dave, you stay here. Stay here. Why? Because I'm convinced this was a territorial battle. I'm convinced this was about regional influence. But Jesus told the former demoniac to stay. Why? Because that man's freedom would prophesy to the spiritual realm that the anointed one has just changed the contract, that the anointed one had just shifted the atmosphere, that those 1,000 demons that held me bound are gone. And it's not temporary. It's not, I need to stay next to Jesus in order to stay free, but he set me free, and whom the Son has set free is really free. I'm really free. I'm not going back to what I was. The door's closed. The entry point to all that demonic stuff is shut. Why? Jesus came, renegotiated my contract, set me free because he loved me, looked past it, loved me. And now Jesus says, I want you to not only stay here, but I want you to go back home and I want you to tell everyone what the Lord has done for you. Go back and tell everyone what the Lord has done for you. This is a picture of redemption. This is a picture of testimony. This is take what God has done for you and let it speak to the atmosphere. Listen, if you just cloister yourself away, get saved and then just come and hide at church, you're missing the point. Go back and tell everyone, hey, look at how I've changed. Jesus did it. I'm not the same as I used to be. Jesus did it. Well, you used to be Crazy Dave. You used to be Angry Dave. You used to be Drinking Dave. You used to be so on, so Party Dave. Fill in the blank. Jesus says, you stay in your community And you show the change that I bring. Why? Because I want this region to know that what hell had planned, I just evicted. I just said, that's not going to happen anymore. Think of it this way. How hard would it have been for Jesus if he could cast the demons out of the man into the pigs? He could have cast the demons out of the entire region himself. Why did he just throw him back into the pigs and the demonic influence is still in the region? Why? Because Jesus was trying to show us something. Hey, crazy Dave, you're not crazy anymore. And now you walk around, you tell your testimony, and hell has no access to you. And you start walking around, you start talking about how I set you free. You start walking around, you start telling the testimony, and people go, I remember you, I think. You used to have crazier hair, didn't you? I don't recognize you with clothes on. But they couldn't argue with the deliverance and the change in countenance and the freedom in his life. And listen, Jesus wanted to reveal the freedom that he brings. It's permanent, it's lasting, and it's not a defensive thing of just trying to stay free, but it's an offensive thing is now walk in that freedom in the place where you were bound, and no, you're not going back, but you're actually going to bring deliverance where you go. If you've been set free, you can set others free. Don't come with me. Go back and walk through this region and start talking about what the Lord has done for you. I want to say to you this morning that the power of God on one life is enough to change the atmosphere in an entire region. Everywhere that man went, he was shifting the atmosphere. What am I talking about? Region. Jesus said, you go back home and you tell everybody what the Lord has done for you. And the Bible says that he did, and he went through the whole Decapolis. And Decapolis is a region known as Decapolis, the 10 cities. Go back to the 10 cities. And tell them what I've done for you. Go back to the 10 cities and begin to share the story of deliverance. And that region was shifted. How do I know? Because it was just a couple chapters later in Mark chapter 7, Jesus goes into an area in the Decapolis and he heals a man in a really weird way. There's a deaf and a mute man, and Jesus heals him, not just by laying his hands on him, but by sticking his fingers in his ears and spitting on his tongue. Isn't it good when you read the whole Bible and go, okay, so there's a story about dead pigs and spitting on a guy? That's in there? Yeah, that's in there. In Mark chapter 8, Jesus is still in that region of the Decapolis, and he feeds 4,000 people with just a bag lunch, and there's basketfuls left over. He finishes with more than he started. But perhaps most profoundly, I want us to know that in Acts chapter 9, Saul of Tarsus was drawn to the city of Damascus, which incidentally is the 10th city in the Decapolis. He was on his way to Damascus on his mission to wipe out Christianity. But listen, something had so shifted in that atmosphere, that anti-Christ atmosphere, that anti-anointing atmosphere, that there was a stronghold that was held there, that hell had invested its resources in this one man, and that one man with 1,000 demons in it would have, listen, at a gateway port where people are coming in and out on the lake, that there would have been over that atmosphere a sense of, this place is dark, this place is heavy, and that heaviness that was there, Jesus delivers the man and then says, you stay here and you walk around this region and you tell people what I've done for you. And as the testimony is released, the atmosphere shifts and the demons that once had access, now they can't have access anymore. And that atmosphere is opened up to the kingdom of God so that when Saul of Tarsus is on his way to wipe out the church, on his way to Damascus in the Decapolis region, he gets knocked off his horse and the Holy Spirit yells at him and says, stop persecuting me, start following me. And he turns his life around into Paul the Apostle, plants churches, and the church has never been the same because that man of God encountered the Lord in a region that at one time was held by darkness. The testimony of a write-off prophesies life into regions and releases hope into the hopeless. There is a shift in the atmosphere that God wants to bring this morning. And so I just want to declare in peace that what we're unfamiliar with because we have sanitized some of our relationship to Scripture, because we've sanitized some of our experience. Some of the ways that we bind people in chains nowadays aren't as crude as in that first century, but nonetheless, there are people with very same issues who are bound in chains of a different sort to keep them stuck so that we can just write them off and say, that's all the hope we have for you. Because we've sanitized our relationship to these types of stories, there can be a certain degree of discomfort that we have when we spend some time in a scripture like this, and it feels a little weird. It just feels a little weird because we have sanitized and moved to the side. But I want to say, from a standpoint of peace, Jesus is just having a conversation very simply, walking in the anointing on his life, bringing deliverance and freedom, and that freedom in that man shifted an atmosphere in that region so that that region could come into a move of God. And so I want to say over this house today that God is wanting to release a fresh eyes of faith for us to recognize the possibilities in him, that if we would partner with God, that listen, there are right now, there are demonic entities that would want to hold, you know, this region and regions around us in blindness and closed mind to the truth, closed mind to who Jesus is. That's just the truth. There are things that are working in behind the scenes in invisible realms to try to animate arguments, make them bigger than they are, and the things that people readily receive as being obvious truth that are obvious lies when your eyes have been enlightened by the Holy Spirit, that those things are spiritually animated and there's blockage. And what's the hope for a world that has negative spiritual influence over it? Well, it's not us trying to wow them with smart-sounding messages. It's not trying to sanitize and come to the lowest common denominator and just kind of edit out parts of the scripture that we are a little uncomfortable with. The answer is actually coming into alignment with the King of over every king and the Lord over every Lord. The answer is coming into alignment with Jesus and recognizing that it is simple for God to drive out darkness with his finger. It is simple for God to shift atmospheres, but how he chooses to do it, like unto this story, he chooses to do it not just by kicking the demons out himself, but he throws them into the pigs and then says to the free man, now you walk around and prophesy freedom wherever you go. I want you, Dave, I want you to carry your story of freedom into this region. Now, what happens when a whole company of people recognize that since the Son has set us free, we're really free? What happens when we actually begin to recognize that the atmosphere is meant to shift wherever we go because of the freedom of the Holy Spirit on our lives? What begins to happen when we recognize that God is wanting to push back the powers of darkness to release the kingdom of his light? I believe that the region starts to line up where people are beginning to start to ask the right questions. What must I do to be saved? People begin to look at your life and starting to ask you the question of, hey, where do you go every Sunday morning? Tell me about your relationship with Jesus. Oh, Pastor Matt, that just sounds so easy, so Sunday school, so Bible, so biblical maybe? We could make it more difficult if we'd like. Or we could just come into alignment with the way that God does something. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. And then he said, I've given the keys of the kingdom to you. There's spiritual authority in this place to see this whole region open up to the proclamation of Jesus Christ. Would you stand this morning? I'm going to ask you just to close your eyes for a moment because I want to do some first things first. First thing first, if you're here, eyes are closed just in order to afford a little bit of privacy for this moment between you and God. If you're here this morning and you need to get your life right with Jesus, and as the word has been preached this morning, what you recognize is, you know, maybe not to the same extent as that man in the tombs, but you're very aware of the need of freedom, very aware of your need to be set free from maybe just habits you can't kick, maybe behaviors that you keep going back to that are destroying your life, and you recognize your willpower alone isn't enough. You need freedom from a heavenly source. You need Jesus to set you free. Listen, today is the day of salvation. And if you've never confessed Jesus as the Lord of your life, or if you've drifted, backslid into a place of going back into bondage, and today you've been made aware of it by the Holy Spirit through the preaching of this word. Before we do anything else, if you're here this morning and say, you know what, I need to get my life right with Jesus. I recognize that I'm a sinner, that I need to be set free and saved, and I want to live for Jesus, confess Him as the Lord of my life, and watch this stuff flee from me, just be broken off of me, even as it was broken off of that man that day in Scripture that we've read today. If you say, you know what, I really want to step into freedom and give my life to Jesus today, either for the first time or as a recommit, I'm going to ask you all over this room if you just lift your hand, because I want to pray with you. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Good and high, just so we can go. Yes, yes. Anyone else? Yeah, very back. Yes, over here. Yes, here. Yes, here. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name that you'd break the grip, Lord, of behaviors that have formed contracts, that right now you'd bring deliverance and freedom. That, Lord, even before that man in this story could get free, you at least subdued the influence of darkness so that freedom could come. And I pray, Father, in this moment, you would subdue the powers of darkness so that hearts that need to reach out in faith could reach out to you in this moment. Bring deliverance and freedom in this room today, I pray, Father. In Jesus' name. Is there anyone else you need to lift your hand? If you didn't lift your hand before, just lift it up good and high. I just want to make sure that everyone's had the opportunity this morning. Several people responding to the kingdom. Several people responding to the free call to salvation and walking in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Yeah, right here. Thank you, Lord. I want us to pray right now. And if you lifted your hand in just a few moments, we're going to ask you to just come in and join us here at the front, and just so we can pray with you and connect with you, make sure we get a scripture, get a Bible in your hands, and just get you connected either to here or to a strong Bible-believing local church. But we're just going to pray right now, and I want to pray a prayer of salvation. And if you lifted your hand, this is what it sounds like. I want you to appropriate this prayer for yourself. But this is what a prayer of salvation sounds like. It's just a conversation with God. And it sounds like this. Just, Father, I come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. I recognize that I need salvation. I need to be set free from things that are trying to bind me and hold me down. I know that I'm separate from you. But I thank you that you are drawing me today by your Spirit. I confess my sin to you. And at that point, you just confess the particular things that the Lord brings to your heart. I confess these things, Lord, that I know I've done wrong. These habits, these behaviors, I confess them as sin. I don't want to do it anymore. And I ask you to save me and cleanse me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I could walk with you. Change my nature. And let me be born again today through faith in your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And in that prayer, the Bible says that if you'd confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, in that moment you're saved. And this morning, if you raise your hand, you agree with that prayer, I want you to know you've been saved. All over this room, probably about 10 or 15 people giving their lives to Jesus. It's amazing. Here's what we're going to do. In just a moment, we're going to I'm going to get our altar workers to just come and line up across here, people that can lead in prayer. And if you lifted your hand, either to recommit or to commit for the first time, I want you to step forward and just join with someone here at the front so that we can pray with you and connect with you one-on-one. But I want to say this over this house. I want us to pray together as a house just about the shift of the atmosphere over our lives. Would you just lift your hands all over this room? Father, I thank you that today, Lord, you're releasing your word into our hearts and releasing faith into us, God, to recognize that you have all authority. And Father, even as this word has been preached and we think of the story of this man who was possessed by demons, God, we admit the lack of comfort that we have with that subject matter. We admit that, God, we don't fully grasp or completely understand it, but what we do grasp and what we do understand is that when someone is crazed and naked and living among the tombs, cutting themselves, Lord, they're in bondage and they need freedom. And we thank you that, Jesus, you have the authority to speak a word of freedom and freedom will come. And I thank you, Lord, that that freedom is permanent. I thank you, Lord, that that freedom resides within the individual, within that man who was set free, that as he walked through that region, God, he prophesied freedom and it opened up doorways for the light of your truth to break out. And Father, I thank you, Lord, even in this room for freedom coming to 10 or 15 people giving their lives to Jesus. I thank you, Lord, there's fresh testimony of deliverance that's being released into this region. And God, we declare over our homes, we declare over our streets, we declare over our workplaces, over our schools, over our families, over our realms of relationship, that Lord Jesus, your freedom in our lives is bringing an atmosphere of freedom to this region. And God, we declare strongholds being broken today in the name of Jesus. Mindsets that are averse to Jesus Christ. Mindsets that argue against the truth of who you are and what you've said. We pray today, God, that freedom would be distributed from this point. And that, God, you would liberate our hearts and minds to know that, Father, you're shifting the atmosphere through our obedient walk with you. Father, we pray that, God, what we've seen here today, Lord, in terms of salvation, we would see in our homes, we would see in our workplaces. Father, we would see where we go, we would anticipate, Lord, every dark thing bowing to the name of Jesus so that the person, the people, the loved one, the friend, the co-worker, the son, the daughter, Lord, could step into a relationship with Jesus completely free because of an encounter with you and your presence and your word. And we look for that this week, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you want prayer for anything at all this morning, we welcome you to come and join us. If you lifted your hand for salvation this morning, would you come and just meet with one of our intercessors so that we can follow up with you? Just let them know that you prayed that prayer this morning. We want to follow up with you and just walk with you. Thanks for being here this morning. Have an amazing week. Walk in the delivering power of Jesus. And if you're a newcomer, we welcome you back in a couple hours for lunch. Be blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you would like more information on who we are, visit our website at lakemount.ca or download our app for your mobile device.